This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So it's going to rain hard, maybe, tonight and into tomorrow, maybe, and maybe 8 to 10 inches of rain, maybe, maybe not. It's the time of year, you know, early May, where we get these torrential 1-in-100-year rain events, and we've had some problems in the past. So we'll let you know everything you need to know here at WWL. We'll talk with Steve Nelson later on with the Sewage and Water Board, also Barry Keim, LSU climatologist. But all I can tell you is they got some unstable weather, and it could lead to some heavy rain, or maybe it won't, and they don't know. So there you go. Andy Smith joins us now. I know a lot of y'all love Andy Smith. I do, too. Director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. How you doing, Andy Smith?
I'm doing great. And you?
I'm all right. We had a good meeting of the Andy Smith fan club last week. A lot of people showed up.
yeah, both of us.
Yeah, they brought the Angela brought the smothered potatoes, which we really love. So that was a nice covered dish that we had. Anyway, seriously, let's talk about President Trump, because one thing I thought of when and I asked people to text in before their thoughts on President Trump. Somebody said Trump and staff doing a great job. Somebody else said, Tommy, I don't feel like I don't watch him any foreign films. I don't know what that means. Eggs are cheaper. Gas is cheaper. About the tariffs. Stock market's not that far off other than the threats of on national news. I'm not that affected. I would like to buy Trump for what he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth. I detest him. We didn't have much of a choice with the presidential election. Somebody else said DOJ is settling with the family of the rioter killed by Capitol Police. Trump met with Proud Boy Enrico and Mom at Mar-a-Lago this weekend. So corrupt and traitor to the U.S. should have been hung on Pence's gallows on January 7th. So apparently that's a very strong feeling about President Trump. He's not a man that about which you can be ambivalent, really, is he?
Yeah, nobody really just shrugs their shoulders about Trump, no. I think. Yeah, Love him or hate him, and a lot of that's just driven by your party and where you get your news from.
Now, a lot of people, you know, I don't buy into the Trump derangement syndrome thing. I think that was brilliant of him to come up with that, because basically, mm-hmm. It means if you criticize Trump, then you've got Trump derangement syndrome. But it does seem as though, you know, if you look at Meet the Press, I don't know if I have to follow the Constitution. He's either playing around or he's crazy. I think he's playing around. I don't think he's crazy when he just says things to try to shock us. I know that might seem like a surprise to people, but I think he says things to shock us and try to get attention. Do you think I'm wrong?
I think there's a lot of that he does, a lot of that trolling. But a lot of it also is that it's just his way of speaking and not really answering a question directly, mm-hmm. allows for so much interpretation by somebody who has ill intent, shall we say. So when he was saying, should I follow the Constitution, I think a lot of that was, you know, my lawyers are arguing about some things or some disagreements over things. You know, I don't know what the answer is. So I don't want to be defending him, really, but it's just after watching him for years, he's not very clear in how he speaks.
Well, and it's interesting techniques that he uses, too. Like, he'll, you know, if a reporter corners him, he'll say, well, you're not being very nice. I don't know who you right. are. He'll attack the reporter himself. The president does have a knack of saying some things like gas being $1.98 a gallon, which I don't know where he got that from, but it doesn't matter, because for people that love him, it's truth, right?
That is one of the things that we've been seeing, and it's become It's not just for Trump, it's for Biden as well. But the partisanship is really what's driving all of this. You know, you're rooting for your team. You know, it's like my country, good or bad, or like my mother, mm-hmm. drunk or sober. That's where we've gotten with politics now, is that there's not a clear set of facts that people are willing to accept. There's not clear interpretations of world events that they're willing to accept. It's all being driven by politics, and, you know, the parties are loving it.
Well, somebody texted in, Tommy, great leaders are often what we call disruptors. Well, that's true, and that statement, just on the face of it, you know, I could turn it around and say, you know, some leaders that have been disruptors have not been so great either. But people tend to see it through the prism of what they want to see. And when it comes to Trump's approval rating, I'm looking at a headline here from a story. It says Trump's approval rating is low, but good luck finding those who regret their vote. Let's take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. I know there are some people that in my neighborhood that are staunch Trump supporters and flag flyers and so forth. Not U.S. flags, but Trump flags. And I know that his policies are hurting them, but I know also that there is no way they're going to say that they have any buyer's remorse. And it's not just about Trump or them. It's about human beings being able to or willing to admit they made a mistake. And I'm not saying they necessarily did or they feel that way. But generally speaking, human beings don't want to say that I was wrong or I made a mistake. If, in fact, they would be. Andy Smith, our guest, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. What do you think about President Trump? 504-260-1870. Somebody texted in, I'm a take-him-or-leave-him guy on Trump. I voted for him, but would have happily voted for a better option had we been offered one. And just like Andy said, it's like it's so much about winning or losing, you lose sight of the fact that maybe we could do something better than either side. 621 traffic now, WWO. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center, about President Trump's approval ratings. But yet, when it comes to people that have voted for him, you're not going to find a lot of people that regret their vote. And somebody texted in, not voting for Harris, a mistake. Are you kidding me? And that's, Andy, goes to what you said, where people frame it as like a win-loss kind of thing, where, well, both Harris and Trump can suck in a world, if that's the way you think, but it doesn't have to be one's bad that making the other one good, right?
Exactly. And then over the last three presidential elections, we saw that neither candidate had high favorability ratings going into the election. Both in 2016, 2020, and 2024, each time they were the two least liked presidential candidates in history. And then they broke each other's records year after or election after election. But that didn't stop people from saying, well, my skunk is better than my party skunk is better than your party skunk. And they, you know, you end up going down the list of tiebreakers almost and decide which candidate you're going to vote for, because neither of them, frankly, none of the candidates have been second comings of Winston Churchill.
But when you get right down to it, it does ultimately default to red or blue, doesn't it?
Yes, and that's something that has been increasing in the United States going back at least until the 1960s and 70s, really accelerated by the 1990s and 2000s. We don't have the ideological broadness of the parties that we used to have. And we're in another shift right now. The old conservative Republican Party, small government, free trade, that sort of stuff, that's going away because Trump's remaking this party into something different. And it's becoming, it's kind of like we're seeing the base of America, the middle of America, the blue-collar voters, the middle-class voters shifting from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party. And the Republican Party is taking over those positions, and the Democratic Party is becoming the elite party. So it's we're seeing kind of a sociological shift within the parties rather than the political makeup. And that makes it easy for people to look at the other party with scorn. They're either pointy-headed intellectuals or they're, you know, knuckle draggers over there on the other side.
I wonder. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Andy.
No, go finish up.
I was just going to say, I wonder what the future portends here, because does that give the Democrats an opportunity, or when it comes to what the Republicans are? I thought Republicans were for smaller government, and they seem to be, unless it's government in control of what I want the government to be in control of, or taxes to tax whatever I want, and him and not you. You understand what I'm saying?
there's the rub. You're looking for ideological consistency, and I don't think you're going to find much in politics today.
Does that change going forward, or is this the new normal?
I think it's the new normal because, frankly, our national government over the last 100 years has really been able to offer benefits to each small group of people in the country. So everybody's got a little piece of the pie, and the parties want to reward the people that are their supporters and punish the other folks. But there are enough goodies to go around that everybody likes to buy the votes that they need to get elected.
I like to lessen anxiety. So for people that are just, their hair is on fire about President Trump, do you see a difference between him and President Trump from 2016 or Donald Trump from 35 years ago? Because I don't.
I don't see too much difference other than shortness of time, understanding that things are going to end quickly.
But in terms of personality, for people that are all flipping out and everything, I don't see any difference. And he's always been, right? When somebody shows you who they are, believe them?
I think so. You can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Actually, I think you can sometimes if you use enough treats. Thank you, Andy. Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. I got a new dog, and I'm trying to figure out how to train him because I think he's got some border collie in him, and I think he wants to work. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk to Barry Irwin, Chief Policy Officer for Leaders for Better Louisiana, on how things are going in the legislative session up in Baton Rouge. Right now, we pause for WWL First News.